Hi guys, gals, and non-binary pals. Russ here. So before we go into the recap, I have to mention that between the backstory episode and this episode, the PCs have all reached level 2. We're justifying this in-game as training during the time skipped since those episodes took place. This episode is the first time that the entire cast recorded together, and we had an incredible time. I hope you all enjoyed this episode as much as we enjoyed recording it. So last time on Prison Pals, Gibbs received a message and a gift from their parents. Holland forged an unnamed sword. Vayu got their butt kicked during their training. And Elsie made a promise to his sister. Welcome to Prison Pals, Episode 1, The Hand of Fate. It is the end of spring. It's currently the 16th of Bloomfield towards beginning of summer, and it is now the Festival of the Empress. It is this celebration that honors High Empress Kali Kena of the Carthage Empire, and thanks her for saving the people of Carthage from the rule of her father, a scourge upon the nation. This event is one normally celebrated by the citizens of the Carthage Empire, but because of how large the Empire's population is in Ragon, it's a full-on celebration for everyone in the town. Most people are happy to use this as a break from normal everyday boredom, but the Hasharians are absolutely against this celebration. This festival is spread across the city, having many different aspects including carnival games, food stands, little trinkets, prize booths, a small petting zoo, a wrestling area, drinking tents, shows and performances on a stage, and many other bits and bobs throughout. There are many places to go and things to see. You guys have all spent the morning with your respective families and have finally gotten some time to yourself. Holland, you left Flora when she told you she was going to take Quinn to see Aster and Genevieve. Vayu, Freya has taken Amala to see the Fire Breather for the third time because Amala really wants to see if he can get taught how to breathe fire. She basically told you to go on and enjoy your time in the festival and to meet them for the closing show at the end of the night. Gibbs, you've been hanging out on your own since the day started.
I'm sorry.
Since the gay started, good.
Gibbs, you've been hanging out on your own since the day started. When you and the rest of the children got to the festival, most of the older children asked to head out on their own, and without you even asking, Evie said you could go too. Elsie, you actually spent most of the morning being treated, as per your promise with Veronica, and you were released not too long ago to enjoy the festival. You know that in a few hours there's going to be the closing events of the festival on the stage, and fireworks. What do you all want to do? Let's actually start with Vayu then.
Cool. So you said there's like... Okay, so is everyone in town... Most of the people in town are here?
Most of the people in town are here. One thing that you know is that there are a lot of merchants who come to the festival. Once again, Ragon is one city that has almost no poverty. You guys all have some sort of form of money because of the government taking care of you. So there are a lot of merchants, but there are also tourists who come to the town. Ragon is famous. It's the city where the families of heroes live. People come here to see what's happened in the past 2 years since the mission started, how you guys have sort of continued to live. So there's a lot of people here, not just from the town, but also from outside of it.
Cool. So then I think I'm just gonna, like, ever since I part with my family, I think I'm just gonna kind of wander, probably look at some different merchants and, like, what they're having. If I run into anyone I know, I'd probably, like, stop and have a casual conversation. Especially if, like, I saw Ezra or someone, like, I would definitely, like, slide in there, say what's up. Yeah, but mostly I think I'd just be, like, wandering, looking at stuff.
Right. Are you looking for anything specific or just sort of looking around?
Just kind of, like, milling around. If there's any, like, definitely, you know, like, pretty gemstones and stuff, I would definitely be, like, spending a lot of time there, just kind of, like, checking it all out. But just kind of, like, milling around.
Alright, so you wander about, and as you're wandering about, you actually run into Evie, who's taking a few of the children around. You notice that one of the children that are with her is actually Rhea, who seems very excited to see you. In the past 4 months, since she finally started talking to you, you've learned a lot about her. Her father went on the mission because her father felt that he couldn't take care of her properly, and one of the reasons why she's always tried to be so close to you is because you're the only other person in the village who looks like her. You're the only other person who's blue.
I loved her.
I have a question for you.
Yeah.
That piece of turquoise that you got in your backstory episode, yeah. What did you make that into for her?
I made, like, a little... Okay, so I made, like, a friendship bracelet. Mm-hmm. And so my my bracelets are made out of, like... red, like, wooden beads. So I think I probably, like, took the stone and, like, put it as, like, the centerpiece. I'm making hand gestures and no one can see. It's a podcast. So, like, I put it as, like, the centerpiece, and then I made, like, the rest of the bracelet out of, like, the same beads as mine, so that we have, like, matching ones.
So she runs up to you and says, "Vayu, Vayu, it's good to see you," and gives you a big hug.
Oh, hey, Score. And I, like, pick her up and just, like, hug her.
She looks at Evie and says, "Miss Evie, can I go with Vayu?" Evie gives her a nod and says, "Be safe, children."
Of course, of course. I'll take good care of her. I'll bring her back at the end of the festival.
So where are we going?
I don't know. Where do you want to go?
And so she leans in real close to you and says, "I hear there's something really cool to the north of the festival."
Okay.
"I heard some adults talking about it. There's some sort of wagon."
That's not a plot hook.
Well, then let's go check it out. Yeah, let's go. And I hold her hand and lead her that way.
And she looks up at you and says, "I also think Ezra's gonna be there."
Oh, you know too much about me already.
She gives you a smile and says, "Of course, we're best friends."
You're right, you're right. I pat her head.
And you two walk off. Next, I think we're gonna hop over to LC. Alright, so LC, you've been released from your treatment, and you haven't really done anything in the festival yet. What do you want to do?
So, Annalise, Dante, and I said that we were going to meet at the Oak Shade Cafe at some point during the day. So I think Elsie would just head there and wait for them.
Mm-hmm. All right. So you head to the Oak Shade Cafe, this very relaxed place. It's comfortably decorated, and the walls are painted this very calming blue. And when you get there, you see that Dante and Annalise actually aren't there. Instead, Veronica is there, sitting at a table.
Okay, then he would sit with Veronica.
"Ah, good to see you, Elsie."
"It is good to see you as well."
"You just got out of treatment, I guess."
"Yep, you would guess right."
"Well, what are your plans?"
"I'm just meeting with Annalise and Dante. We're going to go to the festival together."
"Well, I do not see them around. Would you like to come with me first?"
We said that we would meet here.
Yes, but you can always come back.
Whatever, fine. Elsie rolls his eyes.
She gives you this big grin and says, come on, big brother. It's not a big deal. Yeah. You'll find them soon enough.
Yeah, yeah.
Come on, come on. And she drags you out of the cafe. Gibbs, let's continue with you. What have you been up to since you were released from the rest of the orphans?
All right, well, Gibbs doesn't really hang out with any of the other kids at the orphanage, so as soon as they're told that they can just run off, they do by themselves. And I kind of imagine them, like, running, like, into the crowd trying to find something, I don't know, cool to learn about, to look at. But then they quickly get, like, overwhelmed by, like, how many people there are and, like, how many legs they have to go through. And there's just, like, walls of people. And so I think they're getting a little nervous, and now they're looking for maybe Judo and Jasper.
So you eventually run into Juno and Jasper, twin female halflings. They're about 12 years old, and they both seem very happy to see you. They haven't seen you all day. And you know that Juno comes over first, being the more talkative one. She comes over and says, Gibbs, it's good to see you. I see you're carrying your gun with you.
What a conversation starter.
That's how I start every conversation.
Miss Evie said I probably shouldn't, but I'm so close to getting it perfect that I just don't want to leave it alone, you know? You want to see it?
But through the festival? Really?
What? I want to show it off. I've worked really hard on it.
Juno gives you this look of, like, concern, and Jasper sort of, like, pushes her aside and is like, it's okay, don't worry, it's fine. Just, if we're gonna go show it off, we have to at least go to the treehouse.
But then nobody else will see it.
Well, I mean, you can't really show it off in the crowd. If you want to make sure it's working, we have to go to the treehouse.
Fine.
They sort of both nod and then follow you off. Roll me a perception.
Oh, boy. All right.
First roll, guys.
First roll of the moon. First roll.
Oh, God.
All right. You said perception?
Yep.
Okay. That's a 2.
Hey.
So, you walk off with Juno and Jasper, heading towards the north of town.
Just Juno and Jasper, and nothing weird going on at all.
Nothing weird going on. You're too focused on the chance to show off the gun. Have you named the gun anything?
I think they're trying to come up with names right now, and they're open to suggestions.
All reliable.
Right. Heartseeker.
Yikes.
Get out.
I wish there's a way to, like, show that disappointed mom look I get, apparently, but, like, through the podcast.
So, let's go on to Holland. Holland, you left a situation where Genevieve and Astra were going to be involved. What are your plans?
So, I think Nathaniel and I would be at, like, one of the games. Like, I picture, like, at, like, the boardwalk, like, you throw the baseball at, like, and hit the bottles. Yeah. I feel like that's, like, the type of game that me and Nathaniel are at. And we're just, like, throwing the ball, and he's doing so much better than I am.
All right. Roll me a strength check, and I'm going to roll one for Nathaniel, too.
Oh, God. So that was an 8.
Oh! Nice. Second roll.
We're off to a great start, guys.
You guys are at this stand throwing these little balls at bottles to try and knock them over and win a prize. And you throw a ball and it knocks over a single bottle. And Nathaniel looks at you and says, well, good job.
I really don't need you to rub it in on me. I know I'm bad at this.
"Oh, I'm great at this."
Okay, so you go ahead.
And he throws the ball, and it doesn't even reach the box.
Yes.
It just falls straight onto the floor.
So Holland face palms, and then like shoulder punches Nathaniel.
Ow! Like, wasn't my fault. Just got an awkward angle.
So that's 1-0. Go ahead. Next one. Oh god.
All right. So he throws it, and this time he managed to throw it properly, and he knocks over two of them.
I rolled an 8. What'd you get? Again.
You knock over one again. You both have one ball left.
At least I'm consistent.
All right. Go ahead and roll.
Hey, that's better. That's a 14.
All right. So you throw it, and this time you knock over three more. There's one left standing, and you do not get a prize, unfortunately.
Oh, come on.
Nathaniel looks at you, laughs again under his breath, and then throws, and once again completely misses. And he just face palms and says, "I don't think this is my game.
Maybe we should find another game to play."
All right. And you two start walking off. The four of you all approach onto the same scene, all leaving your respective areas and heading somewhere else. To the north of the town, there is a wagon. It is painted in a way that makes it look like the sky, except it's definitely magical because it's changing from day to night very slowly. And as it does, you can see that there are stars twinkling on there. There are rifts on it, but there are also comets and everything passing across it. There's a sign outside of the wagon saying, "Fortunes told, first come, first serve." And there's a small crowd standing around the wagon. And in front of it, there are three feminine-presenting individuals. One of them has golden robes. She has a large sun pendant hanging around her neck. She's a human woman with dark skin and beautiful golden curly hair with light brown highlights. Another wears a silver tunic and black trousers. Dangling around her neck is an amulet that contains a silver gemstone that has been carved to look like a half moon. She's a water genasi and has dark blue skin. Her hair is wavy and pale like seafoam. And the final woman wears a dress as dark as the night sky, with blips of light emitting from it. She's a female dark elf, or drow, and has gemstones braided into her purple hair. She wears no necklace or amulet on her neck. And as you all approach, you hear this woman in gold speak. "Ladies, gentlemen, and those not in the binary, I am Miss Sun. And my cohorts here are here to help you all learn the future. You see, we are fortune tellers given a gift by the gods themselves. All three of us have different ways of telling the future. I was given the gift of visions." This woman in the silver tunic steps forward and says, "I was given the gift of prophecy." And the woman with the dark dress steps forward and says, "I was given the gift of tarot cards." As she twists her hand and a card appears. "The three of us tell fortunes together. I am Miss Sun, this is Miss Moon, and that is Miss Stars."
Space lesbians.
They are polyamorous.
Yes.
Space
lesbians.
Yes!
You are actually correct.
Yo, yo, this is my new cover band.
Polyamorous space lesbian.
Miss Sun steps forward. "The three of us tell fortunes, but we are limited in our power. We may only tell one fortune a day to a certain group of individuals, those who are fated to be together. And so, if you would like to be considered for today's fortunes, it's merely 5 silver. Step forward and place 5 silver in this hat, and we will consider you for the fortune. you notice that a lot of people in this crowd step forward and begin putting five silver into a hat that Miss Sun is now walking around the crowd. Would any of you like to participate?
I don't know.
Spoilers.
Gibbs turns to Juno and says, can they really tell you your future? That doesn't sound right.
I mean, I don't know. People have powers to heal people and things, but I don't think Father would be happy if we're getting involved with magic sort of things.
Gibbs walks over and puts five silver in.
Juno and Jasper stare at you with these really wide eyes, and then, clearly filled with fear.
And then Gibbs turns around and gives them two thumbs up.
They both take a step back further into the crowd. What about the rest of you?
Hey, I have a stupid question.
Yes.
How many silver equals a gold?
Not a stupid question.
10 silver is 1 gold.
10?
10, 10, 10?
Yes. Okay. So it's like half 10 a gold. Copper. 10 copper is 1 silver. 10 silver is 1 gold. Gotcha. 10 gold is 1 platinum.
So yeah, we're paying like half a gold coin right now, basically, right?
Okay.
Yes.
Just doing that for the sake of money, which I remember how much I have now.
Good.
Is it
good.
5?
Good.
And I'm actually keeping back of it.
I have 4, actually.
So, Holland's gonna, like, look at Nathaniel and say, do you want to get your fortune read? You never let Floor do it. Why not now?
He gives you this look and says, fine. Since it's the festival, I'll get my fortune told.
Maybe we'll be read together.
Roll me an insight on that.
Ooh.
But no homo, though.
No, it's pretty homo.
No, it's super not homo. Please, keep the homo. Keep the homo out podcast. Of my podcast, please.
You guys are gay?
That was a what? 7.
That was a 7?
That was a 7.
We're not deception. Rolling good.
Wait till combat, guys. I'm gonna mess stuff up. I'm gonna mess it up.
You sort of see him, like, fidget a little bit when you say that, but he doesn't really do anything. And he walks forward and places 5 silver into the hat.
I'll do the same.
Alright. So far we have Holland, we have Gibbs, we have Nathaniel. Anyone else like to participate?
Mm-hmm. Elsie would look at Veronica and just be like, what a load of crap.
Elsie, I wanted to come to this.
Oh, come on.
That's why I asked you to leave the cafe with me.
Are you serious?
Don't be mean. Yes, I'm serious.
What? Fine, but you're giving them the money.
Fine. I have the money. She walks up and places a gold piece in there for the both of you.
Cool. So I look down at Raya. Raya? Why did I just Raya, why did I just forget her name? Raya, sweetie, I'm so sorry. Cool. So I look down at her and I'm like, do you want to do it?
I don't have any money though.
No, it's okay. I can get both of us.
Are you sure?
Of course. I pull out a gold.
Alright.
And I plop it in the hat. And then I have 3 gold because I know how much money I have.
So you guys watch as a bunch of other people put their coins into the hat. And Miss Sun hands the hat back, and Miss Moon steps forward. In order to make sure that this is fair, we won't be picking people. We're going to allow fate itself to choose. And she pulls out a crystal ball that is laying on top of this velvet. And she walks through the crowd saying, this ball glows when it's near people who are fated to be together in some way. It can be romantically, friendship ways, or platonic. It can mean many things, but it knows when people are destined to have some sort of connected fate. And as she walks through the crowd, it glows sometimes, not very often, but it seems to be stuck on 2 colors. It's stuck on this silver color and this golden color. And as it passes, Holland, it turns black. And as it passes Nathaniel, it turns silver. As it passes Veronica, it turns gold. As it passes LC, it turns black. As it passes Gibbs, it turns black. As it passes Rhea, it doesn't change color. It stays completely colorless. And as it passes Vayu, it turns black. Miss Stars brings the crystal ball back up to the stage and says, "Those of you who received a color should all gather up together. Those who were given the color black, come here and speak with Miss Stars. Those who were given the color silver, speak with Miss Moon. And those who were given the color gold, speak with Miss Sun."
This is the rest like of you, group work activities in high school.
The rest of you, unfortunately, won't be having your fortune told today, but if you find us again another day, we will be happy to tell it.
Elsie looks at Veronica, and just, "I don't want to do this."
"Elsie, I paid the 5 silver. You're going to do this, but I will punch you."
"You're going to punch me anyway."
She punches you.
"See?
Do it."
Fine, whatever. "You owe me for this."
"Want another 5 silver?
Another 5 silver. Go, get your fortune told. I will be back." And he walks to wherever she said to walk to. Begrudgingly.
So you two
I
stop.
Love them.
They're so cute. I love it.
I love it.
Gibbs, Juno, and Jasper are behind you, and Juno steps forward and is like, "You can't go. What? This is weird magic. You can't get involved with this."
"But it's weird magic, and so I have to get involved with it. I'll be right, okay. Well, it's okay."
"Well, they have a gun."
"Yeah, I have a gun. It's fine."
"I don't know if our parents will be happy that we're here. Is it okay if we meet you at the stage for the closing ceremony?"
Yeah, I'll see you there."
"All right, bye." And they give you a hug.
Oh, Gibbs is waving.
Yeah, because people on the podcast can see you waving. Holland, what about you?
He's just gonna not like push Nathaniel towards the silver groups. Like, go get your fortune read.
Don't push me. I'll go. Don't worry.
I push him again.
He gives you a glare, but there's this look of fondness behind that.
"Don't give me that look. Go."
He walks away, shakes his head. Vayu.
Yeah.
Rhea looks at you and says, "Are you gonna go get your fortune told?"
I'm gonna. Is there like a tree or something? Okay, is there like something that's like a landmark nearby that's not the wagon?
Yeah, there are benches and stuff nearby.
Oh, sick. Okay, so I'm gonna like point at a bench nearby and be like, "Can you just wait for me there? Alright?"
"Yeah, sure."
"Okay, I'll be right back, honey."
"Alright." You watch her like sprinting over to the bench and sitting there very peacefully. She's playing with a bracelet that you made her. And you all join this group that's speaking with Miss Star. When you all get there, Miss Stars sort of looks all of you over and says, "So, for me to tell you all your fortune, we're going to have to go into the wagon. There's plenty of rooms in there. It's much bigger on the inside than you might think. But yes, I will be telling your fortunes there. Is everyone ready to go?"
"Sure."
Yes, nods.
"Is it it's just us four, right?"
"It's just you four in this group."
"All right."
You notice that the other two groups are also people of four.
Oh, I would like to also point out, Gibbs got really excited that Holland was in the same group.
Yeah, I'm about to say, like, I'd be like, "Yo, Gibbs, what's up, my dude?"
"Yeah, my person, my kid."
I also recognize Gibbs as, "Oh, the kid with the gun is here."
Yeah, Gibbs kind of like immediately goes over to Holland, excited, sees Vayu, waves a little bit, and then sees LC, and then just kind of hides behind Holland's leg.
Oh, that's cute.
Because why not?
I'm a little hurt that Gibbs wasn't excited to see me. Even though I don't think I know their name. I just know the kid with the gun.
I'm a little hurt that Gibbs hid from me. That's fine.
Well, it'd be like that sometimes.
Yeah,
they're not
it's a little bit
hiding
racist.
Exactly.
No,
you don't know why they're hiding. Maybe they're just shy.
Anyway, Elsie would kind of like slightly recognize Holland and like give him a nod, not knowing if he actually if he recognizes him back.
Nope. Holland just nod back like, "Hello, stranger."
As a friendly thing.
So I would like when Gibbs like hid behind my leg, I'd be like, "Oh, hello, little one. Are you enjoying the fair so far?"
Yeah, it's just really crowded, but it's okay, because I found Juno and Jasper, and then I came here, and then the cart looks really cool, and so I'm super excited, although I don't know how fortune-telling.
Okay, let's just go get our fortune read. Come on. Like, help you into the kit wagon. Like, get in there.
Give them a little lift.
You guys are led into the back of the wagon. It's not like a covered wagon sort of thing that you see in, like, Oregon Trail sort of stuff. It's like a full wagon. It's like a box,
like
sort of shape,
like at a circus.
Yeah, like a wagon at a circus,
like Pennywise from It.
No, not like that at all. No, actually, no. And you guys enter the wagon. Stepping into this place, it is much larger on the inside than it is on the outside. It's over double the size. You can see that there are plenty of doors around here. But there are three that seem to be special at the end of this long hallway. There is a door with a sun painted on it, a door with a moon painted on it, and a door that's just painted like the night sky. Miss Stars looks at you all and says, "If you would all please go into that room and sit at the four chairs on the one end of the table, I'll be in shortly. I must grab the rest of my cards."
Okay.
Oh. Gotcha.
We're so awkward, I love it.
She gives you all a nod and lets you all enter the room. And stepping into the room, you can see that there are dark curtains hanging around this square room. They have rips and tears on them that seem to emit light similar to the rifts that exist in the skies. There are twinkling lights all around this room. In the center of this room, there is a circular table with one chair on one side towards the back of the room and four chairs on the other side. There are many candles on this table that seem to have dripped so much wax onto it that they seem to be basically fused to it. She gestures for you all to sit and leaves to go get her cards. So, you all have time to yourselves here to sort of meet one another.
Gibbs is going to sit in between Holland and Bayou.
Okay.
So that decided everyone's seating placements.
Yep. Not necessarily. Elsie gets to choose between Holland and Bayou.
And is Bayou on the left or right of you?
We're in a line?
It's sort of like there's this circular table. Oh, it's okay. Large enough for her to be on one side and you four to be facing her around the other side.
Okay, Elsie would be the furthest to the left.
Okay.
I feel like I would sit next to Elsie, so I'm between them and Gibbs.
So from left to right, it is Elsie, Holland, Gibbs, Bayou.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Cool.
Holland would just like turn to like Elsie, like extend his hand, like, "Hello, I'm Holland. Nice to meet
you." "Hello, I'm Elsie. I've seen you around."
"Oh, really? Where?"
"My mother. She's a cleric. I visit her sometimes."
"Oh, yeah. Okay." I'm great at improv, guys.
Honestly, I couldn't remember like where it is that you like work, so I didn't say it just so that I wasn't wrong.
So we probably see each other at the temple a lot then.
There it is, the temple.
I volunteer there sometimes, not a little bit.
Hey DM.
Yeah,
is that the same temple as me?
Yes, that you all three of you frequent the same temple.
Oh. Thought it. I don't know why. Figured the monk temple and the cleric temple were different. I don't know.
No. It's all the temple of the same gods. It's just that you have different responsibilities there.
That makes sense.
Elsie and Holland have seen each other because Elsie comes to the medical ward to see his mother, and Holland volunteers in the medical ward. You've most likely seen them because you've walked through the halls and you've been in the like courtyard area where the monks do their training.
Right.
So you've probably seen them walking through the halls and everything.
Okay. Well, good to know that now.
Yeah, sorry.
It's okay.
Yeah, I didn't know. I would have also said something to Vayu, because Elsie notices everybody.
Oh.
Especially other people with like weird colored skin, because like, yeah.
Same. Yeah, I mean, so Vayu's really oblivious, So, like, they probably, like, look at LC and they're like, have we met before? Maybe? You look familiar, I think.
I do not believe that we have met, but do you frequent the temple as well?
Oh, yeah, I do. I train there.
Then maybe we have seen each other.
Oh, cool. I'm Vayu.
Elsie.
I'm blue, in case you didn't notice. It's kind of like my defining trait.
I'm purple and I have horns, trust me.
Oh, cool. I've noticed. That's pretty cool.
I don't know how I missed both of you.
Oh, I don't know who you are.
Oh, okay. That makes two of us.
Oh, cool.
Hello, little one. Who are you?
I'm Gibbs.
Nice to meet you, Gibbs.
No, it's just Gibbs.
Oh, then why were all the eyes there the first time?
Oh my god, I can't. Russ's face.
Oh, I did it!
I can't.
Burn!
I didn't mean to say Gibbs. My name's just Gibbs, and sometimes that just happens when I'm nervous, so don't make fun of me, okay?
I'm sorry for making fun of you. Gibbs is a very nice name. I am LC. And he reaches out his hand.
And Gibbs kind of stares at it for a second before, like, timidly reaching out their hand.
Aww. As well. Hey, Squirt, does Evie know you're here?
Well, she knows I'm at the festival, but not necessarily here. Does Evie know you're here?
Kid, I'm an adult, so I can go where I want.
So, are you an adult?
As far as you know. Maybe.
No, this is Holland saying, are you an adult?
Exactly. I mean, is 17 an adult? Is it still, like, 18 is an adult?
18 is still technically adult in this world.
Okay, so I'm almost an adult. So don't you worry about a thing. I know where I'm going.
So as you say that, the door opens and Miss Stars walks in and she sits at the head of the table with this deck of cards. And she sighs and says, "Do you believe in fortunes?"
I do.
Do you want, like, an honest answer, or...
Honesty is always appreciated.
Kinda, maybe. I don't know.
What about you two?
Well, I don't know how they work, so maybe, but I've never heard of it before.
And you? Do you believe in fortunes?
What do you mean, fortunes?
Do you believe that the future can be told?
I do not think that anything is set in stone. So any future that you tell me, why am I to believe that it is fact? And if you tell me something, who's to stop me from changing that? So your fortunes, not that they're insignificant, but I do not necessarily believe, no.
She gives you this big grin when you say all that and says, "Exactly. The future isn't set in stone. There are many paths that we can walk, many different strings that fate might pull. We can only tell you one, but it's one that approaches. You can always change your fate, avoid it, make it so it doesn't affect you, make it better. But that's up to you. The reason that my lovers and I do this is not so we can set things in stone. It's so we can let the people know what dangers they might face." And she's looking at all of you as she's saying this. "I hope that you leave here with an understanding of the future that might come and the part that you might play in it. Are you all ready?"
I guess so.
Yeah, Gibbs nods.
Why not?
As ready as we can be.
And Gibbs is all going right to stand on the chair to get a better look at the top of the table.
All right, that's fine.
They're almost as tall as the rest of us.
No, they're not.
Miss Stars holds out her hands in front of her, facing her palms upwards, and says, "Fate, speak through me. Allow me to tell these people what they must know, what the future holds. Let me tell them that which will save them." And her eyes roll back into her head and turn black. The cards which she had placed in the center of the table begin to float and spread out in the middle of the air. And then, like a magician's card trick, they begin to fly back and forth, as if someone was firing them out of their hand. And as it's fired, it collects on the other side of the table until it becomes a full deck, then fires back out to the other side. This chain of card goes back and forth over and over and over again, and one of her hands slowly rises. As the chain passes by her, her hand moves swiftly, striking a single card out of this line and onto the table, without disrupting the flow of these cards. She does this 6 more times until there are 7 cards on the table, each face down. 4 cards are in a square shape, and the remaining 3 travel in a straight line through the center of this square. She still has her eyes rolled back when she looks at the rest of you. She puts her hand on the card in the top left and looks at Gibbs. "One for the child who builds worlds," and flips the card over. You see an image of a person standing in front of a wall covered in weapons, and the very top of the card says, "Warlord." As she flips the card, she looks at you, Gibbs, and says, "Your might is not in your body, but your mind. Those who will see this will be blinded by it. What they do while blind will be your fall." She moves her hand to the top right. "One for the teen who hears storms." She flips the card, and you see a dark cloud filled with lightning. And it says on the top, "Storm." "You will be tempted by your own inner calm. Do not hold yourself back, or others will suffer in the wake. One for the man who bends steel," she says as she moves her hand to the bottom left. As she flips the card, it is this burning, raging fire, gold and yellow and red, and she looks at you and says, "Inferno, your inner pains will try to consume you. These struggles will stop you if you let them. The inferno is hard to stop, but easy to direct. Find its target." She flips the 4th card, the one on the bottom right. This card is different from the others. There are 2 people in its image, a man holding someone else. The man has a mask over his face covering his mouth, and the person he's holding is clearly dead. And Miss Stars, at the very top of the card, it says, "Plague." Miss Stars, as she sees this card, goes, "Ah, one of the few cards for 2 faded. The doctor and the corpse. Which shall you be? Will you be the one who heals, or the one who spreads death?" She holds a hand out and grabs the card on the right. "One for an ally who guides." And you see this image of a comet blazing blue. And the top of the card says the word "comet." "The one who travels the stars needs your help. They will arrive soon. Give them your assistance and they will give you their life." She moves her hand to the left. And as she flips the card, she says, "One for an enemy's might." And the card that you see is of a man attached to strings. And the very top of it says, "Puppet." "You will face a creature that seeks to disrupt and disturb your plans. Pay them no mind. It is their master you must fear." And as she holds her hand over the card in the very center, she says, "One for a deity's light," and flips it. And as she flips it, you see this cloud of gray. And at the very top of it, the word is death. "The worlds start as dust, and by the Pantheon's light we are made. Dust wishes to see who will return to them on your journey." And as she says that, her eyes roll back forward, and the cards stop flying around and merely settle into a pile on the center of the table. And as she blinks her eyes, she looks at you all and says, "I hope that was satisfactory."
Gibbs raises their hand.
She looks at you slowly.
"I don't get it." Like, that was just really confusing, and I think there's a more straightforward way that you could tell us what's gonna happen. And I don't remember anything you just told me.
Her eyes roll back one last time.
It's like, "Hold up."
But this time the cards don't form a line. This time the cards begin flying across the room, scattered every which way, until there's a single card left and it flips on its own. And you see an image that says, you see the word, "Innocent." And she looks at you all and says,
"A child needs your help. This child will die without you. Save them."
And there is a thunderous clap and a flash of bright light. You are all outside. As you blink away this light, you are outside where this wagon was. Because there's no more wagon in front of you. It's just this empty area to the north of the village. It looks like it's been about 3 hours.
Gibbs, like, grabs onto Holland, like, very, very tightly. He just kind of, like, grabs on to his pants, just not letting go, kind of shaking a little bit.
He's gonna pick Gibbs up and just, like, shoulder him.
As you both begin to reach for each other, you notice something. All of you have a card in your hand. It is the card that you were played. Gibbs, you have a card called Warlord, showing a figure in front of a wall of weapons. Except that figure is you. Vayu, you have the storm. And in this cloud, you can see an image of yourself for a brief moment.
I just imagined, like, Mufasa.
Elsie, you have the plague. And for a moment, you see yourself as the doctor and the corpse.
Oh, he said the plague. I'm glad that we played.
I thought he said plague.
Yeah, I didn't know what word he said at first.
I heard plague.
I heard plague.
Good for you.
I wrote it
well,
down.
Good for you guys.
Yeah, I mean, it was my card.
You have the card of the Inferno. And for a moment, you see yourself within the flames. Everyone roll me a perception check.
First roll for Ben.
First roll for me.
Well, that's a natural one.
Hey, ooh. Same!
Yeah. First natural ones.
16. It's actually a tie between Holland and Gibbs.
16.
I mean, that kind of makes sense, because, like, Holland is sort of comforting Gibbs right now, and Gibbs is freaking out.
That's a 12.
12. 16. So, Gibbs and Holland, you are too busy sort of holding on to each other, trying to understand what just happened. But Vayu and Elsie, you two notice something, but it's different things. Vayu, you look over to the bench for Rhea, but she isn't there. And that's when you, Elsie, you hear a scream of a child.
If they hurt Ray, I'm gonna end someone.
And I think that might be a good place to end episode one. Hi, all you wonderful people. I'm Russ, and I'm the DM for the podcast. We want to thank you all for downloading and listening to Prism Pals. I hope you all enjoyed meeting the characters and getting to see them interact for the first time. If you enjoyed this episode, please continue to download and listen to our future episodes. And for social media updates, you can follow us on Twitter, @PrismPals, on Instagram, @Prism_Pals, and like us on Facebook, @PrismPalsPodcast. You'll also be able to find transcriptions of each episode on Tumblr @PrismPals.tumblr.com. We would also like to thank Neil Martin for his wonderful work on our theme song, Hope on the Horizon. If you enjoyed that, you could find him and more of his music and other works on Twitter, @BardicMartin. There's also a very special artist that Sam's going to be talking about on this episode's Artist Spotlight. So, let's head over to Sam and see what they have to say.
Hello, lovelies. Sam here with our very first Artist Spotlight. These artist spotlights are going to be something you hear at the end of every episode from now on. It's a moment in the podcast where we talk about some member of the LGBT community and the content that they make in a hopes to kind of, you know, bring the community together and just spread word about all this magnificent art and music and things like that that you can go and check out. For our very first artist spotlight, I would like to talk to you about Professor Jimbles. Professor Jimbles is the creator of the podcast Professor Jimbles Dice Bag, which focuses on RPG discussion and some actual play episodes. I've actually listened to a couple of his episodes, some of which touch on some very important topics like women in gaming. There's also episodes on things like how to be a good player and the GM player divide. And honestly, I just love the energy he has with all of his guests. And he actually has this adorable little song at the beginning of each episode's Jimbles jingle, if you will, which just makes me smile whenever I hear it. Not all the content is family friendly, so if you are a member of our younger audience, please get permission from a parent or guardian before listening to this podcast. You can find all of his episodes on SoundCloud at soundcloud.com/ProfessorJimblesDiceBag. You can also find him on Twitter at prof_Jimbles. So that's PROF_Jimbles. So yeah, be sure to go follow him and give him a listen. And then message all of us and tell us what you think. That's all I have for you today. No, go out there and create something wonderful. And if you want us to share it here on Prism Pals, go check out our social media for a link to the application. I believe Kyle has it pinned on our Twitter right now, so it should be easy to find. But yeah, that's all for real this time. Goodbye, you wonderful people.
Thank you very much, Sam. So, if you could please leave us reviews on iTunes and remember to share us with all your friends, it would really help us grow. We're a small podcast and we are just starting out, so any help would be appreciated. Anyways, I'll let you go ahead and head on out, so thank you everyone, and have a great night.